Heavenly Father, we come before you, and God, we give you thanks. Thank you, Lord, for letting us come together in your name. Thank you for letting us come together and worship you. And Lord, as we meditate and remember how you have done a great work and you have given us eternal life, you have given us the victory here, Lord, we thank you. And help us as our hearts are together here that we would praise you. Lord, draw each one of us, touch each one of us. God, help us to hear what you want to say to us this morning. We thank you for this privilege, and we pray that we could use it, that we could grow in health, our spiritual health. We could use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For the message this morning, I think it's a little bit unique as I was pondering it, and the first part of the message will be left a little bit, well, we'll say it doesn't quite have a conclusion, and I will leave it up to you to further meditate on that and what conclusion you come to. There's a phrase that's often said, and it's a good phrase, it's a beautiful phrase, it's a powerful phrase, and it's also a very, very common phrase. And that's going to be my title of the message this morning. And the phrase is, Jesus loves you. A very common, a very soothing three words, Jesus loves you. The words get used in many different ways, in many different groups, in many different circumstances. The, and just about anyone could say those words to try to comfort someone else. And somehow those words, though not always, we might say not always heated in the heart, and yet many times when there's either trial or strife or tragedy, the words, Jesus loves you, they are a comfort. While studying it, I want to just open up something for us, some thoughts, and we can further meditate on it. And I found something very beautiful, but it's two parts, and we'll look into that here this morning. The thought, if you're going through a trial, and or let's use example of tragedy, and you've probably been at those places. If there was a tragedy, someone, something happened to someone, and there was a funeral, and very often we might say the message comes across that it's a call for those that are not saved to come to the Lord. But outside of the church service, we might say, the comfort basis is often, at least out of a religious setting, the comfort basis is Jesus loves you, Jesus cares for you. Someone passes away, we are familiar with the songs. Often we sing songs, Jesus understands, we can go to Christ, and so on. Again, good words. So Jesus loves you. Have you thought about, and what do you think, is that for everyone? Is that for everyone? Now, is there a difference with this statement, Jesus loves you, if you were to speak to someone that's born again, someone that was a believer, or if they were not a believer? I'll ask it again. Is there a difference, if you were to use those words, would there be a different meaning or a different... Yeah, would you be saying something different if you were speaking to a brother in the Lord and Jesus loves you? Would it be any different if you were speaking to someone who's not converted? Maybe he's willfully sinning. Would you say to him, Jesus loves you? Now, I know this could get kind of, we could debate some of these things, and my intention is not there, but I'm going to bring up these two parts. Saying the words, Jesus loves you, to a believer, or saying the words, Jesus loves you, to an unbeliever. Now, how many of you have ever thought of the contrast the Bible gives on these two subjects? There is a, if you look at the Jesus loves you to the unbeliever, you'll see certain things. And if you look at the words Jesus loves you to a believer, what would we say? It leaves you in the dust. It is, to me, very, very amazing. It is one of those things that grasps your heart and mind, and you're left wondering, or you're left overflowing with joy, and we'll get into some of those things. Some of these topics sometimes tend to, let's say they're uncomfortable. We're not going to go into that this morning. I just want to mention it. The thought of someone really going about and Jesus loves me and so on. And it can get to a place where, or let me just say, where in a healthy setting, they don't commonly use the terms Jesus loves you, to the point where if in an unhealthy setting, they're all about Jesus loves me. And I think you'll get my drift. There's a draw towards Jesus loves me, loves you, or loves me, that can come from an unhealthy setting, and yet we don't use it that much in our settings, it seems, when we think about Jesus loves you. Now, if Jesus would and God would write you a letter, what do you think that letter would be about? And to me, that letter is, the letter is so powerful. It is so, and I can't really explain what it would be all together. But yet, Jesus is very strong in letting his followers know, I love you. That to me is amazing. But when we use the word Jesus loves you, we use it in a broad setting. And I have not always thought of that there would be a difference if I said to an unbeliever, Jesus loves you, and I said to a believer, Jesus loves you. We ask the question, what is God's reason for loving man? If you give to the unbeliever, you tell him God loves you. What's God's reason for loving him? There's a definition to that. But then you ask the question to the believer, what's God's reason for loving you? And that one, again, excites me. There is a difference. And it's a, yeah, we'll get into what that difference is. Now, I want us to think a little bit about the physical things. Just a few words before we get into any scripture reading here. Many times, we're going to say that the mankind seeks for love. Mankind has always sought for something. Mankind seeks for love. And I want to bring out four different points here a little bit to help us as we progress with this message here and what we want to think about. Many times, an unconverted soul will look for love. And if you think about what they're actually seeking, then we might say it is not true love. It gets into the parts of where, you know, it's for emotional stability and things like that, where God's love affects us in four different ways that I've written down here. Could be more. There's four things that came to my mind. And those things are, one of them would be emotionally. But the most important one would be spiritually. And also you would have physically with our behavior and mentally with our thoughts, which would then lead out in behavior. What's God's reason for loving man? So if I were to ask you now, and I don't know if you can think this through fast enough here. If I ask you this morning, and maybe I would like a few to answer. If I ask you this morning, when you go to a person on the street and witnessing, there's not a wrong answer, but you tell him Jesus loves you, can you just tell us what you mean? What are you telling him? It's not a trick question. You just go ahead and give an answer. Correct. So you use both meanings in what you just shared there. Often in a tragedy setting, I want to go to a different example here. But my goal this morning, I'll first share that. My goal for us this morning is the greatest part of my goal this morning is for us to see how God loves His children. That is a tremendous blessing. And second to that is to see what God's Word teaches us when referring to an unbeliever, and we think of him and say, you know, God loves you. And like I said, there's no right and wrong. There's just thoughts I want to bring to us, and there's key things that come out in these thoughts. So we're going to think first here now, and we're going to think about the unbeliever. So what does the Bible tell us about when we think of Jesus loves you talking to an unbeliever? Does anyone have a verse in your mind? And I know it's short notice. Do you have a verse in mind that you would share with them to show them, to tell them God loves you? What verse would you use? John 3:16. Very good. Anyone else have one? Yes. Anyone else have a verse in mind? Good. Very good. All right. Let's turn to John chapter 3, verse 16. I'm not going to speak as fast this morning as I tend to do sometimes. I'm hoping to really concentrate my thoughts, and I want to try not to miss something here. John 3:16. Now, I'm going to read the verse here. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There is a little side note, we might call it, that's in this verse. So, for God so loved the world. That is the part where we could tell each person, for God so loved the world. And God did love the world and gave His Son. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I want to draw a distinction here. You can tell the sinner, you can tell the unbeliever, for God so loved the world. God loved all of us. But there's something that this verse doesn't say. What happens if the believer decides not to believe? What does the verse tell us? What will happen to him? He will perish. So what I want to draw out here, we have this all over Scripture, which is very neat. I found it very... They found it sobering, and it's unique. Almost any place you look for a verse that talks about how God loves man, there's always that second note. What happens to the man that doesn't believe? There's a key word, believe. He believes on me is often used. Jesus says it. He who believes on me, and he says it here as well. And I want to share something with you here, and I'm going to use this again in part to help us understand the latter part. You see, today, man is really searching. And I think it's at a place where it's actually dangerous spiritually. It gets dangerous of all the things that get preached and written in books and so on. But today, the very, very strong topic is God loves you. It's everywhere. And religion has become, we'll say obedience to God has been, is so far behind what they preach when, as they're preaching, Jesus loves you. And there's such a strong pull for everyone that wants, I want Jesus to love me. And there's reasons, there's things that come with where they're at in their heart, soul, and mind, that why they hunger so strongly for somehow, you know, let's say, you know, the preaching that has the least resistance to the flesh and brings out Jesus loves you the strongest is the most accepted. And so here we'll see it consistently. And the only reason I bring this out is there is something that happens when God loves you. And I know we've heard preaching before about, we have the story of Jesus asking Peter, "Lovest thou me?" And we can go into detail, do you love Jesus? Do you love God? And here, we're gonna have the flip side, and it is, does God love you? And there is very evident results when God loves you and you have been redeemed. Now, there's silent claims being made here that are very, very powerful, and I think we tend to forget. And I wonder sometimes is if drift is the cause for us to forget and not recall the power that's in the Word of God and in God's will for us. So, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's heart. That's what He wants, to save every soul, that he would have everlasting life. Now, the sinner would love to hear, God loves me. But there are parts in that that they do not want to hear. And the part that today is a tremendous disgust and regret is, should we preach, God loves you, but you need to repent? So even witnessing out on the street, we might go to someone and see them in despair. And this is the part that I can't fully bring a conclusion to. When I go out and witness to him and I see him bound in his sin, I want him to know God loves you, but there's something to that. I'm not saying God loves you, don't worry about yourself, you know, just be happy. I'm not saying don't worry, God overlooks your sin, you don't need to change anything. But when I go to him and I say, God loves you, you know what his greatest love is? It's not a giddy feeling, wow, he really paid attention to me today. God's true love to man isn't about a feeling. It's reality. It's when man realizes, wait a minute, my destiny, you know, the judgment coming to me, it's death. And when man realizes the kind and sober offer, I will give you life. That is love. It's not the, don't worry about your drugs, you can keep doing drugs, just, you know what, come to prayer meeting with me, or I don't mean to offend you, I really don't want you to not come, or come in. You know, if I come out witnessing that you won't show up because you're afraid of me, we appeal, and this is one of the things that I want us to think about. When we go to someone and say, Jesus loves you, just a note of caution, don't appeal to their emotions. We don't get saved through a ride of emotions, and we cannot win a soul by trying to override their emotions. And so we don't find Jesus anywhere in Scripture. When Jesus talks of that he loves God, God loves him, he loves his followers, we don't find any sense of an emotional ride. It's all very literal. And so here, Or as I go, I'm witnessing to this man, Jesus loves you. And you know what Jesus' love to you is? That he has a path for you, that you can be redeemed from your sin. Today, if you went out in the street and said to someone, you know what, Jesus loves you, here's the path, repent and believe. They say, wait, that's gone too far. Today, you cannot say that. You cannot judge someone. Many Christians today, they would want to believe Jesus loves me. They hear it all the time. And yet, they're not convinced in themselves that Jesus actually does. Their own conscience and soul convicts them otherwise. They feel damned. And yet, you go to them and say, here's the path. Repent and believe. You're judging me. The greatest love Jesus gave to us, God gave his great love to us, that he gave us his son. And we have his son, and he offers us love, not a feeling of love, not a great acceptance, not a big fireworks as you come in, but simply repent and believe. Here's the path to eternal life. And so there's always these two things. When I go to someone who's not converted, Jesus loves you. But he must know, but remember, and I want to add before I say that, today we're so far from God that these two don't even combine anymore. But when I go to him and witness to him, Jesus loves you, he must know that if he doesn't repent, there's judgment. Now, I agree with Brother Henry, it might take time. But the whole heart of witnessing to him is he must know that at the end, if he doesn't repent, there is judgment. And that's what we see here. We see for the one that is not saved, we see there is judgment. And you know, how many times is the one that is willfully sinning or the one is disobedient to God and all these struggles that they're in, and they cling to a lot of promises.